Welcome back to Lawyer and the Layman. Or what are we doing? Is that the name of it? What are we doing?
I don't know what we're doing.
It's Layman's Law School. We're still working on the
name. We're working on the name.
Yeah.
It's a work in progress.
Right. We got two hillbillies that went to school for a long time, yeah, sitting around watching videos, talking about the law in hopes of kind of demystifying the law, its processes, what we see, what lawyers see in everyday accidents, assaults, crimes. We break down the videos and sort of help you start thinking like a lawyer when you see things like this happen in public. We start these
Another thing we do is that it's Friday when we do these. Yep. It's the end of our work week. Yeah, you know, good lawyers like myself and you work on Saturdays, but we take Friday nights off. And so, Chase, without further ado, what have you brought for us today?
Okay, I have brought, okay, to start this off, right?
This is dangerous. Okay. Is this real?
This is crystal.
Crystal?
That's right.
I'm scared
and
of
this
it.
This is what you call a brandy glass. And this is what you call brandy.
See, you're a lot more cultured than I am. Right. I'll admit that.
So this right here, it was gifted to me. This is a hand-blown Armenian brandy bottle. And I use it anytime I'm celebrating something.
Okay.
It was given to me by my cousin. I married my cousin.
Oh, nice.
I didn't like marry my cousin. Right. I officiated her wedding.
You and married so this, her, but
yeah,
not
yeah, that's
you're
right.
not married to her.
Yeah, Devin, and Matt gifted this to me. They're very,
very,
very generous,
nice.
Very sweet. But I use it anytime I want to celebrate something.
Well,
so
you know,
oh,
it's time.
How am I going to do this?
I got faith in you. Oh, we're getting three today, eh?
Yeah, we got to get one for Jamie in there.
Jonathan's done a hell of a job back there.
Yep. There you go. You just need a little.
It's
called a snort.
Snort. Okay. That's a different right. snort. Here, that one.
Hey, Ben.
Ben, take this one. It has less there. I'll take less. I'm taking one for the team.
You're very welcome. Come on.
What are we toasting to?
To the law.
To the law and the layman. Smooth as silk. Oh, I wasn't supposed to drink it all?
No, you're supposed to sip it, but it's fine.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. No, all right.
We do things different.
We do things different. It's fine. I brought you a present today.
Okay.
Now, this is from my special reserve.
Okay.
All right. You know, I had the 97 last
Which is your
podcast.
Favorite.
It is the best. That's why I say this one. Now, there was a gap between 97 and 2001 where it's just not great. Okay. Mm-hmm. The best way to preserve it is in a bag, right? It's got to be a dark bag, so the sunlight doesn't get to it.
Sure.
And you know, mess with the hops and the process, right? So usually you want to rip open the bag. You
can't go just from the top.
No. Rip open the bag. Now, this one's been chilled to perfection at 33 degrees, excuse me.
My goodness.
Yeah, and this is a 2001 Anheuser-Busch Bud Light. Now, that you can't find that everywhere.
You spared no expense here.
You can't find that everywhere now.
You ready?
Just.
There we go.
Oh, that sound is glorious.
Well, I appreciate that. That is
tasty,
amazing.
Isn't it?
Yeah. And I have a present for you here today.
Okay.
And it's in keeping with our little tradition here.
All righty. Ah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I see the top already. I mean, this is impressive.
This
is impressive.
This is a 1997 collectible Bud Light bottle that was only produced for, it was like these bowling pin type bottles that were produced in 1997.
I like it. I'm going to have to reuse this.
I found it in my backyard.
Yeah, I'll use it. But so you see how the bubble at the end, that takes away the carbonation. So you got to be careful when you drink it through that. When it hits that bubble, that's you got to be careful. It's like drinking out of Das Boot. Das Boot, you got to turn it and flip it at the right time. Everybody knows that.
All right, so today we got another series of videos that we're going to be taking a look at. And Reed hasn't seen any of these, so he's going to be reacting.
Per usual.
For the first time, I have a little more. I've looked at them before, and we're going to see if we can't get some good law out of Reed here today.
Yeah, see if the cowboy can shoot from the hip. We'll see.
Beth, could you bring up the first video?
That's a
excuse me. I'm coming through.
So the question here is, Has a crime been committed there?
Well, I mean, technically, I would think there was a crime. I mean, you're infringing on somebody's rights, but realistically, there's nothing that's going to happen. Now, saying that, I will back it up a step, because it's all about damages. It's kind of, this reminds me of when people come in with a horrific car accident, and they somehow, by the grace of God, have a scratch on them. And they say to you, and they say to me all the time, I could have died.
Yeah.
But you didn't.
That's right.
That's the problem. That's right. So it's a good thing that you didn't die. Just hopefully the person that was taking this video that this crazy woman was coughing on is not sick. Now, if the woman that was doing the coughing had COVID and knew she had COVID and was doing that intentionally, and then the person who was filming got COVID because of it, then I think you got an action.
Right.
But you have to have the damage to have an action. And right here, we just have somebody being a jerk, essentially.
Right. And so what you're talking about there is the civil side. There's always two sides to the law. There's the criminal and the civil. A criminal is prosecuted by the solicitor or district attorney, and they actually have prosecutorial discretion. And that's what he's talking about, is anything going to come of this? And he's like, likely not. And in part because they're going to get to have discretion about this. Yep. Now, in this particular situation, somebody posted this online and it went viral.
Right.
So that would increase a prosecutor's likeliness of actually doing something to this lady in order to make an example. Because you can't, you know, this happened during the height of the COVID issue. Everybody was arguing about whether or not it's real or not. But under these circumstances, it is a crime for you to make unconsented to contact with another person, whether it's spit, breathing on them, touching them.
And especially when it's in a pandemic.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing to accidentally do something. This had intent. Right. And that's a very big factor in the law.
That's right.
This is intentional. This is an intentional act.
Right.
To try to harm someone.
Yeah.
Now, the harm might not have occurred.
Right.
But you still were trying. That was your intent.
Yep.
And so, as a son of a prosecutor, I can tell you that it certainly is criminal, but what I think would happen is they have to take it to a grand jury, and a grand jury is either true bills or no bills. And that what that means is you're going to be prosecuted or you're not. Mm-hmm. And before the DA, the district attorney, can even present a case to a jury, it has to go to a grand jury. And if they true bill it, that means the grand jury said there's enough for a case. So in this situation, I think it would be presented to a grand jury, and depending on where they are, what state you're in, what county you're in, conservative or liberal, whatever, if they're outraged by the behavior, they may true bill it, you know, and then then it's up to the district attorney if he wants to prosecute it or not.
Right.
But I would imagine it would be more of a slap on the wrist, her face is in the paper, you know, trying to deter this behavior more so than actual punishment.
Right. And in there, I think we saw an example of assault as well. And people, they confuse the whole assault and battery type.
Absolutely.
Name, the way in which these crimes are typically named.
Attorneys do too.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, for instance, if I were to just reach over and take a swing at Reed but stop myself in the last minute, if it's reasonable for him to assume that I'm going to hit him and he was in fear, that's assault. I don't have to touch him. As soon as I touch him, that's battery.
The person filming could have knocked her block off.
Right.
And I think that would have been within her rights.
Absolutely. She's defending herself.
She's defending herself.
Is what
to
she
get
perceives.
This person away. She sees it as a dangerous harm coming at her.
Right.
And, you know.
She needs to end it.
She needs to end it.
Right.
And so.
Yeah. So in that situation, you know, could they have charged her with a crime? Most definitely.
Right.
I think they could have charged her with one. Would she have actually done any jail time?
No,
absolutely not. And again, on the civil side, you have the issue of damages. Right.
So that to nail home your example. So the civil side, we would win this. Mm-hmm. Let's say we took the camera lady's case. Mm-hmm. We would win the case of right or wrong, But there would be no money award because there's no damages.
Yeah, likely to be no money award right. unless the jury's just so outraged by it that they sure. want to punish this guy. Right. Yeah, and this, I mean, intentional infliction of emotional distress is also another element right. to this whole thing. If this woman actually in Georgia, South Carolina, so you have to have some physical.
There's a question for you. You got to have something like you're about to bring up. You got to have physical touch. Do you consider
the air?
The yep. air is physical touch.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And absolutely. I think you do in this type of situation, but not other situations.
Right, because she's coughing on her right. with the knowledge and intent that.
It's intent.
Particles are coming out of her
right.
onto that person, and that's what's creating the harm. That's what's creating her to be fearful.
Right.
But during this pandemic, it's been a real challenge for lawyers to sort of deal with this issue because people get into situations where they're reckless with the way in which they've dealt with the pandemic, whether it be a work or hospital or something mm-hmm. like that. But for the challenge for us is we have to prove causation. Yep. We have to prove where and when you That's got right. it. And with stuff like this, it's like, in even in that case.
Even this one. I right. agree.
Yeah. Did she get it that day?
How do you prove it?
Yeah. How do you prove that? It? Yeah. Because you can get it any 2 to 14 days they could have got it. So it's really, really difficult. A perfect example of
that is a car accident. Simple. Let's go to car. The car accidents are simple. Mm-hmm. You're injured. Mm-hmm. You still have, let's say you have a torn ACL, mm-hmm. right? And you still have to show that the car accident was the mechanism that caused that.
Right.
You could have tore your ACL walking down a step the mm-hmm. day before, sure. and honestly, you might not even know it. Mm-hmm. And then the car accident may create the pain, and
right,
then
right.
they do an MRI. So it's always, we have the burden of proof as plaintiff lawyers.
Yeah.
We have to show that without, you know, at least 51%
right.
believe that it was caused by this action.
Yeah.
And you have to have medical evidence to prove that.
Yeah.
And so this one, to me, the unknowns of COVID are there's no doctor in the world that's going to say, I know for a fact that
they got it
from her.
Right.
And so that's the problem.
Yeah.
And then also the damages, obviously.
Right. Right. Yeah, that's a good one. But don't go coughing on people
in the
grocery
jerk
store.
Move.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
I mean, morally, she's just not a good person.
No.
That's just, you know, but you know, let's just not do that.
Well, Donnie, can we get the next little video up?
Do you have any property in there that belongs to you?
Just my backpack, sir.
Okay, your backpack? What's in your backpack?
There's nothing in there, sir. Just my Bible. That's
your Bible and stuff like that?
That's it.
Okay, you don't mind if I make sure there's no weapons or anything like that in
there's
there?
There's nothing in there, sir.
Is there going to be any narcotics or anything like
there's
that or
nothing in there? Sir.
Nothing in there? Okay, do you mind if I search that?
No, I do not.
You don't mind? Okay.
No.
Thank you.
You cannot search my backpack, sir. I do not consent. Okay?
You just told me that you didn't mind.
I said, I do not consent for you to search my backpack, sir.
Okay, then maybe we have a misunderstanding, sir.
All right, so.
All right, what you got for
all me? All right, now the question becomes, in that situation, if they later on find something in that backpack,
right.
they search it without his consent. They
right.
search it even though he said all those things.
Sure.
Right. Well, first of all, let's start with this. Do they have the right to search his backpack, the police?
Depends.
Okay.
All right, so it depends on why he stopped, number one. So, but. Looking at the video and the officer asking, that tells me that this isn't a high-speed chase. This isn't a known person they're looking for. It might be just a traffic stop. So because
right.
he's asked, otherwise he would just do it because he would have the authority to do it.
Right.
So that tells me that it's a normal stop and blah, blah, blah. If there's a miscommunication, mm-hmm. then it usually is going to go towards the party that you're acting upon, mm-hmm. meaning the guy driving the car.
Right.
In this situation, there was a miscommunication. I think the officer thought, and with good reason, that he said that the driver said, yes, you can search it. But as soon as the officer started walking and the driver said, no, that's not what I meant,
yeah.
then you have no right to search it. So if he goes in there and finds, you know, whatever, mm-hmm. doesn't matter, I think that's out. That,
right.
That's not going to be admissible in a criminal case at all.
That's right. And it happens quite a bit where police get in situations like this.
Mm-hmm.
They actually have a good faith belief that what they're doing is lawful. They search and they actually find things that are criminal.
Sure.
And the court's remedy for unlawful search and seizure is to actually exclude that evidence. He could right. have found 2 pounds of cocaine in there and a murder weapon, and they right. would have excluded that
right.
excluded that evidence from any ever seeing the light of day. It's a part of the your constitutional right, and if you're going to waive your constitutional rights, one of the things that has to be there for the police to basically have your consent is it has mm-hmm. to be clear and unambiguous.
Right.
Okay, in that situation. That's the definition of ambiguity right there.
So. I would, like I said, the way that the answer was to start mm-hmm. was, I don't think there was ambiguity if you just, if it stopped at that first interaction.
Do you mind?
Right.
Yeah.
Because no. it was, even though the driver of the vehicle was he didn't understand what was being asked, mm-hmm. he said yes. But then he realized it and go, mm-hmm. no, that's not what I'm saying.
That's right.
I'm saying, so. then you go back. It's a contract. Yeah. I mean, essentially, mm-hmm. you're going, hey, I allowed you, but now, no. Now the contract's changed.
Yeah.
We misunderstood each other.
Right.
You don't have any right to go in here.
That's right.
And so the only way that the officer has a right to do that is if there's something else, if there's in pursuit of a crime or mm-hmm. you know, something else is going on.
Yeah.
And the problem is that most officers, I truly believe, are doing a good job and doing their best. The problem mm-hmm. is that the officers don't know the law.
Yeah.
They didn't go to law school. They mm-hmm. don't understand that shall and may mm-hmm. can change everything.
Right.
They don't it's the language, one word can change the entirety of what you can do. And so we're having officers essentially enforce the law that they don't understand.
Right.
And that's the issue.
Yeah. And these things are the way the law falls is very fact specific.
Right.
And unless you deal with this stuff all the time, it can be a real challenge. And,
absolutely.
And we have new trainees on the job every day.
Yeah.
We have bad cops that are trying to do things that they shouldn't.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, the Constitution does their best to sort of safeguard against those types of things.
I can't tell you how many times I've, growing up with a district, I'm a district mm-hmm. attorney's son, mm-hmm. And he was the DA since I was 4 until I was, let's say, 34, mm-hmm. maybe 36, something like that. So I would hear these things, and Dad would say, "Hey, this was you know a crime that was committed, a legitimate case, but the officers didn't perform their duties correctly, right. so we have to kick this case out." The chain of custody may mm-hmm. have been messed up. Mm-hmm. The way they approached the person may have been messed up. The way they arrested the person may have. Any of right. those things can kill a criminal case. Right. And the biggest thing to me, and I'm not a criminal defense attorney, but just growing up with it, the biggest thing is just to shut up. I mean, that's the key. You know, if you are being investigated for anything, even if you are completely 100% innocent, mm-hmm. don't say anything
yep.
because those things can still, you can say something innocently mm-hmm. and it can create that guilt that is not real.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's hard for people to understand, but you can say things against your interest mm-hmm. that you don't realize are against your interest and you can be completely innocent. Mm-hmm. So on TV, when I see people say, well, he must be guilty because he won't talk to him.
Yeah.
No, that's wrong.
Yeah.
You can't talk to him. Otherwise you might be guilty what you're not guilty of.
Right.
That's yeah. So, and my dad would tell you the same thing.
Yeah.
As a DA, when I first started driving, he said, if an officer pulls you over, mm-hmm. they say, can we search your vehicle? He said, nope. Tell him, no, this is my dad's car, and he's got to be here. And if yeah. the DA's telling you that,
yeah,
that yeah. should tell you something.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a super important thing to do is to you know, exercise your rights, exercise your rights to an attorney, and exercise your right to keep your mouth shut.
Right.
Because it can get you in trouble.
And another thing I want to add on that is mm-hmm. if your rights are going to get messed up, mm-hmm. okay, the officer's going to do something that violates your rights.
Right.
Now, what usually happens is the person reacts in a physical way or right. goes crazy and says, this is my right, blah, blah, blah. Don't do that.
Yep.
The way to fight it is after.
The fact.
The attorney can fight after the fact, not during it.
Yep.
And so don't make, if somebody is acting, an officer's acting inappropriately, don't match that.
Right.
So you got to just eat it and take it.
Right.
And then there's going to be a time where it's your time to talk.
Yeah.
But it's not then.
Yeah, absolutely. And unfortunately, what we're seeing a little bit, we got that footage from a body cam.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, what we're seeing is they mandated in a lot of states that the body cam stop having an on and off switch.
Right, right.
All right, because they caught some guys, some police officers in Detroit planting drugs on a number of actual people that were suspects.
Sure.
They planted it on them, and then they had to overturn off something like 200 or 300 convictions. The guys got off on the fact that they got all these convictions. They had a great record. You know, they were moving up and everything. Mm-hmm. But one of them forgot to turn the camera off when they were planning stuff.
Right.
And they got caught. Well, when they instituted that new sort of standard of not having them turn off and on,
right,
where the officer could control it, police departments have kind of done away with those. So it's unfortunately going to be up to the public. I love dash cams, people having their dash cams on. And some of the other videos we'll show, not necessarily later today, but later on down the road, we'll talk about some of the rules and laws about your ability to video a traffic stop and how that can sort of protect you,
right,
and how it can harm you.
It also reminds me of, you know, so you have when it used to be the rule was that an investigator didn't have to record while he was interrogating you the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
And so what would happen is you had these false admissions,
right,
essentially. Mm-hmm. They'd have somebody who's not intelligent, and hungry and thirsty and everything else, and they keep them in there for 10 hours, and then they only record 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
They only turn it on after they've just beat this person into submission, essentially.
Right.
And so luckily, the Supreme Court has ruled that that's no longer the way it can go.
Right.
You have to record from A to Z.
Yeah.
And so you can see the 10 hours of just beating this person down into submission, and they're going, I'll just say anything at this point. Because the investigators are promising them, all you got to do is say this and you'll go home.
Right.
All you got to do is say you go home. But you don't get to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
And all you get is that little 15 minutes at the end where the guy goes, I did it, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
Whatever.
Yeah, please. I just want to talk to my mom.
Right.
Whatever it is. Yeah,
yep.
I don't know if y'all have ever watched The First 48. That's a great example of of that kind of thing happening. And I want to apprise you of the fact that whenever you get in that situation, imagine it's a game.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And you have never played that game ever.
Absolutely.
Right? And you got guys that do it professionally.
That's all they do.
Who do you think's going to win that game?
I'm a pretty good baseball player.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
If I go play and facing the Braves right now.
Right. You're going to have problems.
I'm going to look like a fool.
You're going to have problems.
They do it every day.
That's right. That's why you need a lawyer on your side, a professional on your side fighting those kinds of battles. But one of the interesting things I've seen people do, I don't know if I could do it here or not, to show you sort of how that can happen. I'm just going to talk about something that happened, I think, in Texas. There were three men, San Antonio River. They were found killed in a gangland-style slaying.
Right.
It was 3 months ago. Their bodies were decomposed. They think that they were part of this MS-13 gang. They don't have any suspects. They don't really sort of know who these men are. They're looking for more information. Now, if you remember that, what I just said, I want you to think about that, and then I'm gonna ask some questions about it later. We're gonna move on to the next thing, and then we're gonna talk about
it. Oh, Chase with the trick.
Okay,
stuff.
All right. So,
Jonathan,
can you pull the next one up for us?
Hmm. I don't like any of this. Where did the white car come from? Was that the filming car?
The filming car, exactly.
Hit the black car.
Hit the car. He started.
There's
chasing.
A lot going on here.
A lot going
There's
on.
There's a lot going
Absolutely.
On here.
Absolutely. So this one's super complex.
First of all,
yep.
The woman hitting the vehicle
right.
is at fault to start.
Right.
There's property damage there. And the driver of the black vehicle acted, his life was not in danger.
Mm.
His property was in danger.
Mm-hmm.
I understand trying to protect your property.
Right.
But you cannot essentially try to kill someone
right.
to protect your property.
Right.
Now, if he or she, I'm assuming it's a he because the lady looked upset.
Yeah.
If he was in fear of his life, then okay. But That didn't look like
right.
something that was in fear. He wasn't in fear of his life. Let's he just say, wanted her off the vehicle.
Yeah, let's just say it was a hatchet and not a shoe.
Hatchet, I think he got a little bit more of
right,
a chance.
Right.
I got to get out of there because she's gonna break the window.
And
if she breaks the window with the hatchet, she's going
to
hit me.
Yeah.
But I think it's not a deadly weapon. I mean, unless it's Austin Powers or something, you know, mm-hmm. or James Bond with a shoe phone or something. Mm-hmm. But... mm-hmm. To me, that is, it started with the lady is at fault.
Okay.
The reaction was too extreme to the lady's action.
Right.
So now the driver of the black vehicle is at fault.
Mm-hmm.
Then the white car, that's just a looky-loo, right?
Yeah.
I don't care what happens,
yeah.
what the black car does, the white car is going to be found at fault for the accident because obviously the black car is in distress.
Yeah,
and you're following them.
Yep,
it's insanity.
Closely. Yeah,
you want to film it all. Yeah. Not only that, you're putting the woman that's on the hood, hitting it with the shoe. You're putting her at even more danger because you're following closely, and obviously the black car wants the woman off. Mm-hmm. So if she falls off and the white car runs over them, it's the white car's fault.
Right.
So I go at first the woman's fault. Number two, the black car's reaction is criminal. But civilly, the black car can recover from the white car, in my opinion.
Right. Okay.
How do you feel about that?
I think you're dead on. I think ultimately no lawyer is going to touch any one of these cases. Aside from maybe some criminal charges that might come out of this thing, but he's absolutely dead on with proportionality.
Right.
Anytime when it comes to defending yourself, your property, the response has to be proportional. If you've got somebody that slaps you in the face, you can't hit him with a hammer.
Right. Now, she had a gun.
If she had a gun, you can shoot her.
You can run her over.
I mean,
you got to get out of there.
Right, but she's hitting your windshield with a shoe.
Was it a shoe or a cell phone? Either way.
I don't know. Either way.
It wasn't doing much damage.
No. So, in that situation, he should have called the police.
I'll tell you what. Mm-hmm. Watching that video, what usually happens when they come in to our office and mm-hmm. we get the story of, well, so-and-so cheated on me, and this, none of that matters.
None
of that mm-hmm. matters. But everybody wants to talk about why they did something.
Yeah, yeah.
Why I did something mm-hmm. doesn't matter.
Right.
It's what you did.
Right. Well, yeah, and well.
I would say it's mitigating damages, but it doesn't stop the law from acting on what you did.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that one right there is just a mess that we, What would normally happen is that we would get a client, the client in the black car, that would say, I was hit from the rear.
Right.
And then they failed to mention that the girlfriend was on the hood.
Right.
That they slammed on brakes in an attempt to have her fall out into the street after going 40 miles an hour.
Sure.
Yeah. Jury isn't going to feel too bad for you if you're trying to create that situation. That's what people have to remember is that ultimately we have to take 12 people out of their lives. From their jobs, from their families, they have to sit there, and when they hear about why they're there, and then something like this has happened, they're going to be pissed off that the plaintiff, the person that's saying they're hurt, is even in there, that they're asking them to solve this problem. Right. They want to see a car that's crushed.
That's where it comes into law and reality.
The practical side of it,
And that's what law school doesn't teach you.
No.
Law school will tell you, that's a good case.
That's right.
That's by the definition of the law. That's a good case.
Yeah.
But in reality, nobody wants to see that mess, and nobody's going to reward you for your bad behavior.
Right.
It's just not going to happen.
And that's one of the problems that we have with people. You know, they have a feeling that the law might be able to help them in these particular situations, but they don't understand the sort of nuts and bolts practical side of it.
Right. You know. And there's a common term for that we use, that everybody uses. It's called jailhouse lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
A jailhouse lawyer knows just enough law to keep you in jail.
Yep. And they'll tell you the letter. You'll get in front of the jury, and the jury will look at you like, you brought this in here?
Yeah.
And then you'll have spent time, money, effort, and get no result whatsoever.
Absolutely right.
Yeah. All right. Beth.
Jamie? Beth? Is it Beth this time? Beth?
Yeah. Beth, Donnie, Jonathan. All right. This is interesting. Okay. What you got?
This one's difficult as well. This to me is all about foreseeability.
Mm-hmm.
So, I could argue either side of this, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Number one, let's go with the girl. Mm-hmm. So her argument is that she's leaning up there, you know, minding her own business, and out of the blue, she gets hit by, I don't know if it was a scooter or a skateboard, one of them. Mm-hmm. But obviously, she suffered an injury by tort or negligence from this skateboarder.
Right.
But it's kind of like a premise liability case in that she should have known that they were, unless this was his first time doing that, which it probably wasn't.
Right.
What probably happened is he had been, what are you, rail grinding? Is that what you call it?
I don't know.
I know you're an old skateboarder.
No.
Yeah, that's shocking.
Not a chance.
So if he'd been doing that over and over and over again, mm-hmm. then she has foreseeability that he's doing this. Now, he might be wrong for doing it.
Right.
But she's putting herself in harm's way. That's called assumption of the risk.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, he's still at fault, mm-hmm. but she's going to have proportionality of what she knew was going to happen if she stayed there.
Right.
Now, the guy's still wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
He saw her. He knew what he was doing. That's an intentional tort.
Right.
But she knew it was going to happen.
Right.
So I think it's a little bit of a mixed bag there.
Sure, sure, yeah. And the legal term for it is comparative negligence.
Yep.
And the language we use, you get in the law, unfortunately, is born of an old fact, and that is lawyers used to get paid by the word. That's why contracts are so mm-hmm. long. That's why,
these
you know,
and
all that, yeah, your heirs, because you got paid by the word. Okay, so it paid to be wordy. But comparing it, they're going to compare the negligence of the two.
Yep.
And in that situation, had that woman not seen that and had just not seen him grinding,
she
walked up with her phone, looking at her phone, 100%. Put her hand on the handrail, she gets hit. I'm sorry, but the kid's going to be liable
absolutely.
For everything.
Absolutely.
But if she sat there and she's actually there
she
to
was
try
mad
and
about
keep,
it.
You keep him from doing it,
right?
Then she chose to put herself in harm's way. And
even if he's doing something that's breaking the law, even if he's not supposed to be there,
that's
if
right.
you put yourself in that spot,
mm-hmm.
some of it's on you.
That's right. Now,
he's going to have more fault in any situation.
Right.
But
she's going to get some.
She's going to get some, unless, right. like you said, if she walked up and checking her phone.
Right.
You know, if me and you walk outside and there's and we just happen to
walk into a skateboarder,
then it's their fault.
Yeah, yeah. That brings me up. Let's talk about the practical side of it.
Okay.
All right. She just walked up. She didn't see him. She was on her phone. That's the first time he did it. He
right.
runs into her and she falls down and fractures her vertebra. Okay.
Uh-huh.
How
do you
she
recover?
Sues him?
Right.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
How do you actually get paid?
The only way I can, the answer to that question is probably you don't.
Yeah.
That's really the question of the answer. The only way that you possibly could mm-hmm. is maybe if he did, you have to prove that I guess it would be intentional.
Mm-hmm.
And if he lived with his parents, mm-hmm. because he's a skateboarder, he probably mm-hmm. doesn't own his home.
That's right.
His parents may have a homeowner's policy that may cover negligence. Now, there may in the policy, he may be excluded for intentional torts.
Right.
So if there's not insurance, mm-hmm. this let's say this woman died,
mm-hmm.
all right, which would be horrible.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's say her life was in the finances of the legal world is worth $5 million.
Mm-hmm.
A jury awards you $5 million against this guy.
Yeah.
And what you do with that judgment is you can just put it in the shredder.
Right.
Because you're going to get $0 out of it. You're never going to receive a penny.
That's right.
Because bankruptcy is going to happen.
Right.
And then you are going to get, you're going to be, let's say he has $50,000 of assets.
Mm-hmm.
All the bill collectors are coming due. Everybody's mm-hmm. coming due. You're going to get just a tiny sliver of that.
That's right.
So I would imagine on a case like that, you might receive about $10.
Yeah.
Something around there?
Yeah, and it'd take you about 5 years to get
it. And you'd spend about $50,000 to get the case prepared.
That's right,
So if there's not insurance.
Right. There's no case.
Unless you have a defendant that has assets that aren't protected.
Yep.
You're out of luck.
Yeah.
Out of luck.
Yeah, it's an unfortunate fact. Under those circumstances, one of the things that we would do is we would look to that particular property owner.
Sure.
And whether they have security and whether or not they allowed this type of conduct to go on their property.
Right.
They allowed these kids to do this when they weren't supposed to,
that
type of thing.
That's the sad thing about it is the kid
mm-hmm.
did the action.
Yeah.
He's the tortfeasor. He's at fault. But the practical matter is that it's going to be the responsibility of whoever owned that property if they knew it was happening, because that's the only place that has insurance. That's the only place mm-hmm. that the victim can recover.
That's right.
And it'll be apportioned
yeah.
as well.
Yeah.
You know, you knew they were out there.
Yeah.
You should have had a security guard or had yep. somebody stop it or whatever. Yeah, yeah. But it's still going to have more power on the person that actually did it, but he's just not going to be able to pay it.
That's right.
That's the problem.
Yeah. And I just want you guys out there to know that us lawyers, we sue insurance companies. They right. make $2.4 trillion in profit every year. We're trying to get a little piece
and
of that.
And anytime they lose money, all they do is trade their losses.
Yeah.
So they never actually lose money.
No. No, they meant that, like I said, $2.4 yeah. in profit. $1 trillion. So they're the ones
during the pandemic.
Oh, absolutely, no problem. Didn't bat an eye.
But they did raise premiums. So
a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Makes
sense. Inflation
makes sense. Yeah.
Inflation. All right, Donnie. All right.
All right. Let's see what we got here. Man, that's aggressive. This one's difficult. This one's difficult in the fact that
I know.
Both parties are wrong.
Yeah.
Both parties are wrong.
Yeah.
Civilly, I don't think either side is going to recover. I think that it's going to be a 50-50 split. You're going to have to pay for your own damages. Now, there are some definite criminal actions here.
Yeah, yeah.
The lady getting out is a criminal act and banging on the door and mm-hmm. all that.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's going to hurt her, even civilly.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
can.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is one of those that it's how it's looked at versus actual law.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So the law is going to say both of these people are acting insane and neither one of them recover.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a jury would be more sympathetic to the lady driving
mm-hmm.
than the truck,
right?
Right, mm-hmm. And the reason for that is, and people, especially in the South, myself mm-hmm. included, get mad if you know a lane's ending and somebody's in it.
Mm-hmm.
But that is how you're supposed to drive,
mm-hmm.
so that it doesn't cause mm-hmm. backups in traffic. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to use the extra lane is supposed to fill up, and then it feeds in one by one, one mm-hmm. by one. And both parties had a little road rage,
mm-hmm.
obviously, mm-hmm. but I think that if I was a juror, if mm-hmm. in the real world looking at it,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to side with the lady in the vehicle because mm-hmm. she's trying to merge over. Now, she mm-hmm. absolutely was at fault
mm-hmm.
for pushing the issue. She mm-hmm. could have fallen in right behind the truck.
Right.
But it seemed to me, in just the short clip, that when she's trying to move over,
mm-hmm.
the truck won't speeds up.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe he's slowing down when she's trying to get over behind him.
Mm-hmm.
He just refuses to allow this car in.
Yeah.
And that's not how traffic should work. But I think that neither side will win, to be honest with you.
And I agree with you. I'm gonna disagree with you about the ultimate sort of assessment. And people sure. can disagree about the law.
Absolutely.
That's why we have these jury trials
right.
or whatever. I can tell right now, Reed does not like uncourteous drivers. He's a courteous driver.
I'm a very courteous driver.
And so
I let everybody in.
And
I'm an old Southern boy. I'll let you go all day long.
Yeah.
Go on ahead.
Well,
go on ahead.
That truck, the second that truck sped up to not let her over, his decision was made.
I agree with you on that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
once she made the ultimate move to hit the car.
Yep.
I agree with that.
Yep,
I agree
yep.
with that.
So she had a duty to yield, in my opinion, to the car that had the right of way and that was already in the lane of traffic. Now, he created that whole situation by his just being discourteous and not letting somebody over
sure.
that was in a tight position.
Right.
I mean, there was room for her to go, but
absolutely.
She's not supposed to drive on the shoulder like that sure. unless she has
well,
to.
I thought it was a merge lane. Was it not a merge lane?
It's coming in.
Yeah.
She's supposed to be merging into
okay.
the, yeah, yeah. He was being a jerk, not letting her over.
Sure.
But he was within his rights to do that. She was not within her rights to push the issue, slam her car into his.
I agree
and
with that.
If it were taken to a jury trial, I think it might be some 50-50 stuff going on here. But the behavior
mm-hmm.
after the fact.
Oh, yeah. That's
okay,
going to escalate it. Yep.
That is what I think is ultimately going to
tip
the scales in the truck's favor. Is because people in the courtroom are looking to identify with one of the parties mm-hmm. and are looking to identify with the lawyer that feels like that's telling them the truth and lead them to the truth.
Right.
And when they see conduct like that, they immediately will say, I'm not, you know, in most cases, I'm not behaving that way.
Sure.
Right. Sure. Just like when you saw the truck.
Sure.
What, speed up. I will tell you this. I'm not behaving that way.
I agree with you. I mean, we're disagreeing on a little bit, but we're really not when you think about it. I think that if I could represent either side on here. Mm-hmm. I would rather have the truck side mm-hmm. because of the actions afterwards.
Right.
If I'm representing the truck driver, mm-hmm. I'm going to go in and say, listen, my mm-hmm. guy was being an asshole. Mm-hmm. He was being a jerk. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't let this person over. Mm-hmm. He was mad. He was late for work, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But this woman mm-hmm. had the opportunity to get over safely, and she chose to ram this, because that's essentially what happened.
Yeah.
She got super mad that he was being a jerk.
Sure.
I've had this discussion numerous times. I don't have a law that says, Reed, you have to be a nice guy.
Yep.
Now, I should be a nice guy.
Yeah, sure.
But there's not a law that says I have to be. Mm-hmm. And so he was being a jerk, but there's not a law that says he has to be. Right. So I do agree with you. Mm-hmm. I think that, but if a jury sees it, I think it goes back to the woman riding the car, hitting it with a shoe. Mm-hmm. They're going to say, both of y'all deserve what you got.
Right. That's we're done.
That's what I think is going to happen. Y'all get nothing.
Yeah.
Y'all both deserve it.
Right.
You both were acting inappropriate. You both were acting like lunatics.
Right.
And you're acting like lunatics with a deadly weapon. Mm-hmm. A vehicle is a deadly weapon.
Absolutely.
And it can kill people. It does it every day.
She almost flipped her car.
Right. And then she gets out in the middle of the highway banging on the door. The whole thing.
Incredibly reckless. So that brings me to another point, because I put that up there for a couple of reasons. Number one, let's assume the guy in the truck wins.
Right.
Okay. 100%. She's got to pay for his property.
And some states are all or nothing.
Right.
And so, you know, we're practicing in Georgia where you have comparative where it's, 75, 25, 60, 40, whatever. Some states it's 100, 0, no matter what.
But let's say, for instance, he wins. Does her car insurance company pay?
Ooh.
And why or why not?
That's a tough question.
Yeah.
That is a very tough question. Now, they're going to, I would say yes. Purely because of this. Mm-hmm. Insurance companies exchange losses mm-hmm. at the end of their year mm-hmm. because this case right here doesn't mean anything to them.
Right.
To fix their car.
Geico and State Farm.
And State Farm, right. Doesn't matter who's on who. Mm-hmm. They, like you said before, have trillions of dollars. And what they do, this little thing doesn't matter. This thing is a little case, and they don't care if you're hurt. They don't care if your car's hurt. Somebody will pay it. And then at the end of the year, they say, well, I took this loss on this one. You took this win on this one. Mm-hmm. They just trade debts.
Right.
So I think that if it depends on the coverage, mm-hmm. if they had full coverage mm-hmm. or just liability. Mm-hmm. But both vehicles are going to get fixed.
Right.
And then at the end of the year, the fourth quarter's mm-hmm. over, the big insurance companies mm-hmm. are just going to exchange debts.
Right.
That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, practically that's the case. If we're pushing the issues here in this case, mm-hmm. it could be argued that what she did was intentional.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And what insurance
they're going to fight that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, what insurance covers on your car are accidents. It covers you if you make a mistake. It does not cover you if you get pissed off and start ramming people.
Well, I would say this mm-hmm. to that point. I'm talking practically where they're going to pay it on this case. Mm-hmm. Now, let's take it a step further.
Right.
Let's say that the woman killed the guy in the truck.
Yeah, they're going.
They're not going to pay anything because they're going to say it's an intentional tort. You did it with intent.
That's right.
The smaller the money, mm-hmm. the more often they're going to pay.
Right.
When the money goes up,
yep.
the more time they're going to fight you.
Yeah, it's what they call nuisance value. So, like, they could fight it tooth and nail, but if he's got $2,000 worth of damage, they're not going to pay a lawyer.
Nope.
To fight that case.
When they have $2 point something trillion.
Right.
They're $2,000.
Yeah.
They don't care.
Right. But if we get a wrongful death claim, it's gonna
change things.
Cause a problem.
Yeah. And we see that on cases that we have where I had a case that he absolutely ran over this person in a parking lot and mm-hmm. did it with intent.
Yeah.
Right. But he's gonna say, because he's criminally charged, he's going to say, I didn't mean to.
That's right.
even though I know he did.
Right.
But the only way to recover for my client is to agree that he didn't.
Didn't mean to.
He didn't mean to. Yeah. That's the only way.
But he's not trying to go to jail.
He's not. He didn't want to go to jail. But civilly, my person's hurt. And we just talked about it. I'm not going to be able to sue him and get her some help for her medical bills. And she had a broken leg and all. Terrible accident. If he says, yeah, I did it on purpose, she gets zero.
Zero. Because he don't have assets, and the only people that can pay is the insurance.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's a weird dynamic that you have to play on these kind of fighting. It's in criminal and civil, and you're kind of going, well, I need it to be, I need you to have negligence, which you know, obviously she obviously would. Or in my hypothetical, the person that hit the woman obviously has negligence. But if it's too far.
Right.
Then you lose.
Yep.
It's a weird balance.
It is. It's a difficult thing to do when someone does something sort of intentionally like that and still recover on insurance, but there are ways to sort of skin that cat.
That's right.
So, all right. So earlier today, I talked about an example or the crime that was committed.
Right.
Three people. There were three men, San Antonio River. They were found killed in a gangland-style slaying.
Right.
It was 3 months ago. Their bodies were decomposed. They think that they were part of this MS-13 gang. They don't have any suspects.
Yeah,
how many people got shot?
I thought you said three.
Okay.
I thought you said it could be gang-related, right? Three something.
Three people got shot.
Yeah.
Right?
Maybe. I'm going with that.
Okay, good.
I'm going with that.
So that's an example right there. If you go back and you play the video, okay, from earlier, I never said they were shot.
I didn't say
that wasn't released in the news clippings. That wasn't put out there.
And that's because
gangland slaying. Okay, and then I asked you how many people got shot.
You led with shot.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's the problem.
Right, and so right there.
I didn't say they got shot. I just said. Three.
I said how many people got shot?
Right.
And you said three. Exactly.
Because I'm not listening to how it happened. Because the focus of the question is how many people died.
Right.
But
sure.
You ask it in a way, and that's how attorneys can make you guilty without being guilty.
Right.
Or investigators.
Right. Absolutely. So now you're a suspect. I'm questioning you, and you have information.
How did you know they got shot?
Exactly. The murders.
Right.
Without it ever being on the news or anything like that, about how they got
killed. A lawyer would say that in court is in opening statements. We never gave this suspect how this thing
people
happened.
People were murdered. Yeah.
We just said that people were killed and I said that they were shot. How did I know they were shot?
Yeah. Because you knew. Because you were there.
They were shot. I'll tell you how he knew.
Right.
He knew it because he did it.
Yeah, exactly. Or he was there.
He was there.
Right. He helped. Yep. So that's one of the ways in which they do it. They'll say something as innocuous as that. It's, you know, we found three dead people at this particular place on the river or whatever, and we know that you were there. And then
I wasn't there.
Right.
You know, and, you're fighting it. Your brain's going.
Right.
I wasn't there.
An hour later, we'll say something like that. Now, how many people got shot? And you'll say, I think you said three.
Three people got shot.
Yeah.
And then you cut the video.
Right.
And you play it in court. And you don't have the 3 hours in between.
Yeah.
You have you saying it was a gang-style slaying. And then my answer is three people got shot.
Right. Exactly. And so that's how they get people that are just trying to have a conversation with a police officer that, you know, they really don't have any fear of because I didn't do this. And then all of a sudden you've got damning evidence being piled up against you because you're talking to the police when you shouldn't. Well, I think that's going to do it today, Reed. I enjoyed the, was it 2001?
This is a 2001.
2001.
Cheers, brother.
Cheers to you. Have a good weekend. Happy Friday.
Always.
Donnie.
Great job as usual.
Great job.